Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One of the big stories in our city right now is Pitt basketball, the resurgence of Pitt basketball. And one of the guys leading the way, 6'7", Blake Hinson. He's had a number of really good games this year. They just beat Miami. We all saw that game. Great comeback. Blake Hinson with 21 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks, and a steal. He's been great. This team has been great. It's been fun to watch, and now we get to talk to Blake Hinson. Blake, how you doing? Thanks for coming on, man.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So what happened here? I mean, this is unbelievable. It's a bunch of guys. I don't know if any of you guys really knew each other before this season. You start out with just blowout losses to Michigan, to West Virginia. You were trailing Alabama State at the half. I don't think anybody would have looked at your team at that point and said, yep, that's an NCAA tournament team. Something dramatic happened here. What's the biggest reason you guys were able to turn this completely around?
I don't think there was ever like a real turnaround. I give the success so far in the season just to the character of the locker room, the coaching staff. But most of the locker room, like, I think we're all good character guys, and we're all willing to work with each other throughout whatever situation. We had some early blowout losses that didn't look good, and trailing Alabama State, which is a respectable team still to this day. But the team so early, just like you said, none of us knew each other. So we're trying to figure it out all on the run and playing really good teams, you know, really respectable teams. So that's kind of the reason for that. Not taking any credit away from those teams. They definitely beat us. But, that's what that was. And the character of these guys is high level for real. And, you know, we're willing to work anything else. We're all here to win.
Talk about what Jeff Capel was like through the early season here. You know, you guys are smart. You see social media. People were coming after him because 5 years, hadn't done much winning. Did he change? That was the same guy. Did he keep you going? How was he through the process?
He hasn't changed a lick. I'm not sure what he's aware of. I haven't really been aware of much. But he hasn't changed a bit, man. He just wants to coach basketball, and he comes every day to do that and that only. He's not here to comment on anything else outside of what this team is doing and what we're doing as far as on the court.
Talking to Blake Hinson. Pitt basketball, and they've become a really good story. So what was the key then to you guys getting to know each other and becoming close? I mean, I saw you in an interview, I think after one of your wins, Blake, on ACC Network, and you were saying, this is a special group, you know, we play for each other. It's kind of unusual. I mean, you guys just met, it feels like 10 minutes ago. So who's the leader, and how did you become so close so fast?
I think it just like I said, it's the character of the guys assembled in this locker room. Like, and that's the special part. When I say this is a special group, that's literally all I'm talking about. You know, we're all good at basketball. I think everybody in this league is. But the character of these guys is so high level, and everybody just is, it's all committed to winning, and we truly mean it. So we don't just say it. We actually follow through with it. And Yeah, we're all trying to win every time, every practice, every game. A lot of credit goes to Jamarius as well. He definitely leads his group and with his voice and also by example. And we all follow suit with that. And he's a good person to look up to and look to when fighting these battles.
Blake, I can't even imagine what this year's been like for you. You didn't play the last 2 years. Is that correct? You were at Iowa State and didn't play since you left Ole Miss a couple years ago. You know, what was the between Ole Miss and here, and what does it mean to you now to be back on the court and playing these kind of big games?
It means the world to me, honestly. Like, it means everything that my existence stands for Coach to give me a chance at this school. And I'll put anything on the line for this school, this logo, this coach, this team, because I mean that's what they gave me a chance when it didn't look like I even deserved one. So I'll do anything.
So I'm reading a story here on SI.com. Pickup game trash talk kept Blake Hinson fresh. You would show up at pickup games during this long break here. The guy you talked to when you called in, Matt Cole, our producer. He's 5'8", 160. These are the types of guys that go to LA Fitness. What was it like walking in there?
It was exactly that. I mean, around my way, there's definitely Simone. There's some 5'6", 160 guys, but they might be feisty, though. They might give you a little bit of work, but that's exactly my point when I say the trash talk. Not crazy, not disrespectful trash talk, but something to light a fire under the other team so they don't see you as some Division I player anymore. You guys are seeing eye to eye. And when you're in the gym with them, it's eye to eye. Like, no one's better than nobody in their mind. So when you talk to them, get them fired up, they really push you. And that's what I needed. And every day I would look forward to that. Even if there would be people in there mad with me and didn't like me, I would still embrace it because I knew they were making me better.
All right, so pickup games. Let's get into this for a minute. The worst kind of pickup player to play either on your team or against, and you might have a different category. Is it the guy who takes a charge? We have Andrew Filippone here, one of our hosts. I've seen him call a charge in a pickup game. Is it the guy who shoots all the time? The guy who cheats on the score? Who's the worst teammate or opponent in a pickup game?
I'm going to go with – this is my super – I love pickup basketball. It's a different form of basketball, but it's super fun, and I do it quite often. But the worst pickup player is the headphones guy. It's a new generation type of thing, but the AirPod guy, the headphone guy, I cannot deal with it because you don't know the score. You can't hear when I'm talking to you. You know, basketball is a communication sport. You got to talk.
Wait, they have headphones on the court while they're playing?
You've never seen it before? It happens
no.
quite often now. I think it's the new generation. Oh. I think it's like the high schoolers of today. Yes, they play with AirPods and Beats headphones on the court.
Oh,
yes.
Man. Ron, this didn't happen in Beaver County when you were growing up.
It sure didn't. I'm not part of the new generation, though.
Yes, it annoys me to the most. The charge guy, I get it. Even though that's really annoying as well, you know, usually the rule in my court is no charges. But, yeah, I think it's the headphone guy that takes the cake by far.
Blake, what was it like at Carolina the other night? Yeah, obviously one of the great programs historically in college basketball. Is there any better feeling than going down there and kind of silencing that crowd the way you guys did?
I mean, it's for sure a good feeling. I could imagine there's better feelings, but it's for sure a good feeling to silence any away crowd and come out with a win.
All right, then help us get to the bottom of this, the Jason Capel incident. Were you guys aware that North Carolina had done this before the game? Were you passing around phones or anything saying, look at this photo of this guy, and then did you witness all the other stuff?
Me personally, no. I wasn't aware of anything. I became aware of something, whatever it was, after the game with Coach Capel. Okay, Coach Jeff Capel did his interview. I had no idea. He didn't speak of it. And then I think the incident afterwards, which I didn't really see much of it either, I think that was a misunderstanding from the crowd. There was a situation going on from one of the family members out the crowd. So I think he was just trying to separate that situation, trying to talk that over, and it kind of looked like he was yelling at the other team. So I think that was a huge misunderstanding. Even the article I read afterwards wasn't totally correct. So, I think it was just a big misunderstanding from the crowd. And I get it was an emotional game, so they thought he was yelling at the other team. But it was a big misunderstanding, really.
So let me ask you this, Blake. I don't know if you care about this or you notice it or if it's true or not. How do you feel about the college basketball world and the ACC about how seriously they're taking Pitt? Do you feel respected? Do you think people are looking at you and saying they're a legit threat?
I'm not sure. I would hope not. I mean, that would make things easier on us, but I'm not sure. Just like you said, it really just it's not worth thinking about. Because at the end of the day, as long as we feel like we're a serious threat, we could take on anybody, I feel like. So I don't know. And I honestly don't pay much attention to it. I just care about trying to win.
Blake, you did something the other day that I didn't think possible this year. I mean, Pitt basketball hasn't been very good for a long time. And I go back to the days when, you know, they sold out the Pete regularly. You guys had a sellout for the Miami game. What was that like? You know, you saw some of the crowds early in the season. What was it like to play in front of that crowd the other day?
Amazing. 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 And this city really responds to winning. And they don't respond well to losing. And I can't even get mad at that. I mean, so it's a lot like me. So I think the city and the crowd reflects me a lot. So if we lose some games, they don't show up. If we win games, they show up. And we would love to have a sold out crowd every game regardless, but I respect the city responding to winning. I respect it. So I totally respect it, and I love the crowd. And I love that they love this team.
I told you, Ron, this guy was likable. This team is likable. I want to ask you a couple more questions, Blake. Ron just reminded me with his question. You said also on that ACC Network interview that you'll be out, I think you might have said, a car wash, a grocery store somewhere, and people are starting to recognize you guys. What do they want to know when they see you? And the second part of that, the grocery store part, you do your own cooking at home? You have any specialties?
No, I don't. I do have some specialties. I do have some specialties for sure. But to start with the fans, man, like, honestly, like, just it's the coolest thing ever because it really has nothing to do with can we have a picture. It's rarely that. It's just, like, they want to show their gratitude. Like, they're just like, we love it. That's all they want to say. I was just in an Uber ride yesterday, and this man talked for 12 minutes on how – he cried. He said he cries about this program. He said his daughter decided to go to Duquesne. And he cried. Like, he said he loves the program so much. He just appreciates the winning and the effort. And that's all it is. And I like that's so big. That's so big time. It has. And it's very. I swear, it's very rarely let me have a picture. Oh my God, it's you. It's just they said. The dude I rode with in the Uber yesterday. He just said we feel a part of you guys. We feel like y'all are part of the community. And that's big. That's big. And I really do appreciate that.
You, I know we're too young to appreciate the 2003 Pitt team that won the first Big East championship. And they honored those guys during your game against Miami. Did you get a chance to meet any of those guys and talk to any of those guys?
Yes, I got a chance to meet those guys for sure. I didn't really say much, but, I mean, they're definitely – they appreciate what we're doing as well. And I think they have the same feeling as this city. Like, they just want to see this team try hard and try to get some wins. And they respect that. And that's all they really voiced to us. That's all their message was. Like, just keep playing hard and making us proud.
Blake Hinson, Pitt Basketball. I got to ask you this before we part ways here, Blake. I already mentioned our producer here is 5'8", 160. These twins that you have from the Canary Islands in Spain, they're very intriguing to me. I see talent there, but you got to get them to eat. What's it like in practice with these guys? They don't weigh anything.
Man, you know, earlier they had a hard time with keeping up with the physicality, but, like, every day in practice they get better with it. and they're going to get better with it, and they're going to be the new era of this program. Mm. And I love where that's going. I think that's a great way to go. So
Tell me more about their talent, because you can see it. You can see the talent with both those guys. What are they going to be like?
Their talent is blaring. What are they going to be like? I don't even want to compare them to anybody, because there's nothing college sees often with this talent. But their ceiling is high, and they're definitely not scared to work hard. So definitely get them to eat some more sandwiches and increase their skill level. And I think the sky's the limit. You know, I definitely would be very excited to see the future of the program in their hands.
Blake, you guys have been so good to end games, to close out games. I believe you're 6-1 in the ACC in games that have been decided by 3 points or less. What's the reason for that? And is there a guy that you try to get the ball into their hands? Is it you? Is it Jamarius Burton? I mean, is there a one guy that you look to take that final shot if you need it?
I think the answer to that question is exactly the opposite of what you're thinking. I think the trust is there throughout all five people on the court. And I think that's why we're allowed to make those plays late in the games, because it doesn't matter. We're not thinking we need to give it to me or give it to Jamarius or give it to Greg. No one's thinking that. No, we're just like execute the play and make the best read, and then we're gonna trust whoever gets the ball to make the play.
Blake,
I love that about this team.
Excuse me. Blake, Pitt has always been known for its practices. They say practices are harder than games. Now that you guys have had success, is Capel, I mean, working you maybe even harder to keep that edge?
Yeah, the work doesn't stop. I was working out yesterday, and I had somebody come in and ask me, why are you in a full sweat? It's an off day. I was like, that doesn't mean off day for work, just off day from practice. So everybody works hard. We're never going to stop working hard.
All right, Blake, we'll finish with a game I like to play. It's called Free Association. I give you a short question, and if you could just give a short answer. You can even go one word or a name or anything. You ready to play this?
Let's do it.
All right, Pitt basketball. Who wins to win a dunk contest on your team?
Ooh. Oh, Nike, Sabandi, easy.
Who'd win a free throw contest?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Do I have to choose one?
Yes.
Long pause there.
Who? Greg Elliott.
Okay.
Greg Elliott.
All right. Guy most likely to start a little dust up in practice. The guy who gets ticked off the easiest in practice.
Ooh. I'm going to take that one.
All right. The best pure athlete, the most freakish athlete on your team?
Nike.
And the best... Okay.
No. I'm sorry. Fetty.
Oh, really? That's interesting. In my opinion. And the best trash talker.
Nike.
I like that. Thanks for the time, man. That was great.
Good luck the rest of the way.
All right. Thank you.
That was tremendous, Folsey, was it not?
Yeah, he was awesome.
Very personable. You're right. Very personable. Interesting, too. Very good.
That was a lot of fun.
I told you before, right before we went to the break, Lenardi's latest bracketology is out, and Pitt has climbed, as we thought they might after that win against North Carolina. He had them before as an 11 playing in the play-in games in Dayton on Tuesday and Wednesday night. He has them now as a 9 seed. So they're pretty solid in the tournament now. Now, a couple losses could change that, but they have climbed all the way up to a 9th seed.
I can't believe that we're talking about Pitt basketball again. Having a guy on the air, he was great. He was fun. Do you guys consider the play-in games having made the NCAA tournament run?
I guess you got to. I mean, you'd rather be one of the 64 as opposed to one of the 68. But yeah, I guess it's part of the tournament. But that doesn't start for me until Thursday at noon.
Folsinki?
That's when it starts for me.
It doesn't feel great, I'll be honest.
Are you in or out? Did you make the NCAA tournament or didn't you?
You absolutely are bragging you did.
You're in.
You're in? I'm not so sure about that.
It is called a play-in game, though.
It's a play-in game. You're chosen. It to me, are you in the playoffs if you're in the NBA's play-in round? No, they call it a play-in round for a reason. You've been chosen as one of the final four teams to get into the playoffs. Ron, I don't think you're in the NCAA tournament. I think you're playing to get in.
I certainly respect that, but if Pitt gets in that way, they're going to say they were an NCAA tournament team.
Well, that's fine. The question is, are they? I don't think you are.
I certainly can respect that. To me, the tournament starts at noon on Thursday when the ball is tipped, right? Isn't that what it goes, the song?
I agree with that. You're not in, Folsey. Otherwise, they would call it, this is the first round of the NCAA tournament, a play-in. That's the key. The play. Do they call it the play-in?
The play-in, yeah.
Yeah, so you're playing to get in.
You're right.
Thank you, Folsey.
I think you've convinced me.
Have I?
Yeah.
That didn't take much, Ron, did it? But it makes sense, doesn't it?
That kid was fun to talk to.
I figured he would be, based on his previous interviews.
I'm just looking now
at
Lenardi's bracket. Yeah, how about this matchup? You know, he has the play-in games now. West Virginia, they've dropped because they got beat the other day.
Yeah.
Kentucky. Could you imagine Calipari and Huggins, best friends, in a play-in game in Dayton? That would be wild.
This is what we've missed. We've just missed looking
about,
at the
How about
at the,
Selection Sunday?
Yes.
I used to go out there every year.
Yes.
And the drama of it. Where are they going? Who are they going to play? What is their seed?
It's increnculent, Ron.
It was increnculent.
It really was.
And they've got guys, like he said in that answer, that can all hit big shots, that they're not afraid of the big moments, and they've proven that throughout the year.
They're good.
That gives me even more excitement, not just making the tournament, but being able to come through in the big moments like that.
And you mentioned it the other day, Folsey. My main concern with them still is, to a degree, what do you do with a powerful inside force on another team? But they controlled North Carolina in that way. Got a little travel call late in the game. Federico. He said Federico is the best pure athlete. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah.
How about them apples? Huh?
I know.
Has the best name, too, doesn't he?
Man, he sure does. And I am very intrigued by those two kids from Spain. They could become, if they become good, that's a phenomenal story. 2 7-footers from the Canary Islands on the same team.
Doesn't it give you some Steven Adams vibes?
Yeah.
Where he's coming over from a different
from
country.
From an exotic place. Yes. You bring in a 7-footer like that.
A little slender, a little soft maybe, but if he can beef up and get a little stronger underneath.
What if both of them keep growing? What if they have another growth spurt, Ron?
I haven't watched a lot of college basketball because I just got out of the habit because Pitt has been so bad. I had DeCourcy on the other day. He was telling me this kid at Purdue.
Just going to mention
7'4".
Just going to mention
he
him.
He said solid and good feet. He said that's why Purdue's number one in the country, right? Nobody else has a guy like that.
He's
7'4".
Yes, Zach Edey. He's an old school low post guy.
And not tall and thin either, right?
Tall and thick. The guy's unbelievable. I was just going to mention that. This is what Izzo said about him the other night. Listen to these words from Tom Izzo, who's been around forever. He said he has the softest hands of any player, big man, that I've ever gone against, and he's the best big man I've ever coached against. That's what he said, Izzo, about this guy.
7'4".
Have you seen him?
No, I haven't. I haven't had a chance. Now, I should have watched him the other night. They played Penn State and blew out Penn State by like 20, and DeCourcy said it's their maybe biggest guy will be 6'4", trying to deal with this monster.
Right.
And they got blown out. I didn't get a chance to turn it on. Mike just spoke glowingly of this guy.
It's fun to watch guys like that. When I started watching college basketball, at least very early in my my watching days, it was Ralph Sampson and Patrick Ewing and all those guys. They were a huge part of the game, the low post battles.
Yep.
Even Aaron Gray against Patrick O'Bryant in the NCAA tournament. You remember that one?
That one didn't work out well, though, did it?
Were you alive then, Falsey?
What year was it?
I don't know, 9, 10, 8, 11, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I was alive.
Yeah, do you remember it?
Not vividly.
I do. Patrick O'Bryant became a lottery pick and then washed out. His last good game was against Pitt, I'm sad to say. But, Ron, seeing the brackets come out and picking matchups and saying, look at Pitt in this bracket. They win a game, they go against, pick a guy, you know, Kansas. They win a game, they go against one of these guys. Hinson goes against Ole Miss, his old school.
Pitt wins a game, maybe they go against Jamie and TCU.
Oh,
you know, wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, yes. That would be fun.
Huggins and Calipari would be unbelievable.
If you could pick one guy from this Pitt team who would have fortified the old Pitt teams, who would you pick?
Oh, I don't know. I guess Burton probably.
He'd be a nice pick. Hinson, a 6'7 guy who can shoot threes.
Yeah.
Elliott, somebody. That team, those teams lacked
a shooter.
Mostly
the shooter.
Yeah, that guy.
Ronald Ramon, he could shoot.
He could shoot, yeah.
But they didn't have the guy that you would want to take and feel really, really good about the guy taking the last shot.
Yeah.
LaVance at times, I guess. I can still see him beating
big
Duke
ones
at the Garden.
Oh, yeah, those guys hit big shots. But that lockdown, knockdown shooter, that's what I would want, Ron.
Carl Krauser would take those shots.
Yeah. Nelly Cummings hit some nice shots the other night, didn't he? Three in a row.
Yes, he did.
That was a heated game, and I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I think the Miami win was even more impressive.
That was fun. That was really fun. This is great, Ron. I'm excited. We should make a Pitt basketball field trip, all three of us. We'll rent a bus, Cook and Joe, or rent a plane, and Folsey can be the pilot.
2.3 miles, whatever.
Jump on the party bus.
All right. Back to the NFL. Oh, here's something. There was, it was Greg Rosenthal had people up in arms over his top 10 Super Bowl quarterbacks that didn't include two guys who played for the Steelers. People very angry about this.
Orlovsky had his top five Super Bowl quarterbacks.
Did he?
I think, top five Super Bowl quarterbacks.
Let's talk about
this. Interesting choices.
I'll say for this other guy, I'm curious to see Orlovsky's. We'll do that next. Twitter erupted yesterday, Ron. Nothing new there. But this time, when we have a story on our website, it was regarding a list by Greg Rosenthal on NFL.com, his top 10 Super Bowl quarterbacks of all time. Now, people misinterpreted this as being top 10 quarterbacks in the Super Bowl, like playing in the Super Bowl. It's simply the top 10 quarterbacks of the Super Bowl era, and the only qualification is that you needed to play in at least one Super Bowl, and which top quarterback didn't? Can you think of one? I can't.
No, I mean, Marino's got
Phil Rivers, maybe?
Marino played in one, Rivers didn't.
So,
yeah, and I want to hear your list, and Orlovsky gave his, and it just was the top five quarterbacks of all time. Not going back to the United States and those guys.
Yeah, I mean, this is
Super Bowl era, I guess.
So is this. Yep. It's the top 10 quarterbacks of the Super Bowl era. It's just a confusing name, so people didn't see Ben or Bradshaw on it and went crazy. He's got Brady, Unitas, Montana, Peyton Manning, Marino, Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, Steve Young, Elway, and Mahomes. Would I have Ben and Bradshaw on there? Yeah, probably ahead of Favre and maybe Steve Young, but am I going to sit here and be up in arms that Brett Favre and Steve Young are on instead of Bradshaw and Ben? No.
No.
I'm not.
There have been a lot of great quarterbacks.
I can't. And is Mahomes already a top 10 of all time?
No, I wouldn't put him there now. I my column for Sunday, and I truly believe this, I think he has a chance to be remembered as the best, but he's still got a ways to go. He's only been in the league 6 years.
Yeah. For me, he is.
I think, you know, top 10 maybe, yeah, but I mean.
Well, yeah, that's what I said, top 10.
Let me give you Orlowski's list, and this caused a big uproar too. In fact, I think it was Keyshawn Johnson. They got into a heated argument over this.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yep.
5, Dan Marino.
Mm-hmm.
4, Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
3, John Elway.
Mm-hmm.
2, Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brady.
No problem with that at all.
They were arguing that Mahomes doesn't deserve to be number 2 yet, that he's only been in the league. He's only 5 full seasons in the league.
Yeah.
6 years overall. That was their only point, that they didn't like that. I can't put Mahomes there, despite, I think, his greatness, but I truly believe by the time he's done, if he's not hurt, what is his resume going to look like 10 years from now? He's only 27.
Well,
so I can't put him ahead of those guys just yet, but I do think he has a real chance to be there.
I can, because I think he's better than some of those guys. A lot of those guys.
Better than Elway, Manning,
no,
and Marino?
Nope. Not better than them.
Okay. Well, that was just Orlowski's list.
The fact he has him in the top 5, you know, I could make an argument for Patrick Mahomes right now. Top 10, the simple question, is he one of the 10 best quarterbacks I've ever seen? And the easy answer is yes.
He's amazing.
Yes, the easy answer. How many games did Steve Young start in his career?
See, he wouldn't have been on my list.
He started 143 games. Is Mahomes up to 100 yet, Ron?
No. What, 16 times 5, like 80, 85 starts?
80. Yeah. 80 starts. So next year, you include playoffs, yeah, and he's close to.
He's 10-3 in the postseason.
Okay, so he's approaching his 100th start. That's right. Plenty for me. I've seen enough. The guy's now been in 5 conference championships, and he's going into his 3rd Super Bowl. To me, it's not longevity. It's what you do in the time you're in the league.
Yeah.
Like, what would be if Mahomes retired tomorrow or after the Super Bowl for some reason? Would he be a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Oh, man. If he wins this game on Sunday, next Sunday, 2 Super Bowls, I would think so.
Yeah, for me, he would be.
I would think so. But would I be willing to put him ahead of Elway?
No.
And Marino? I can't do that.
No. No, I think Elway, Marino, Brady, Montana.
Manning. See, Montana wasn't on this list, on Orlowski's list. See, that's what these guys
beat him up. Oh, was that the sticking point?
That beat him up. How can you put Mahomes on it and not 4-time Super Bowl winning Montana?
Sure. Well, yeah, but then the conversation becomes, what about Bradshaw?
Right.
What about this guy?
Too.
What about that guy? To me, if I'm Orlovsky, I say I think Mahomes is a better player.
Yeah. I think he's unbelievable. But is 5 years enough?
Yeah. Yeah. It's enough for guys to get in the Hall of Fame. You know, Gale Sayers is in the Hall of Fame. Should he be? Yes. Terrell Davis is in the Hall of Fame.
But weren't they more 8-9 year guys instead of 6 year guys? 5 year, and really Mahomes started one game in his rookie year, and he's played 5 full
seasons.
He's
played, but in his 5 seasons,
he's gone to 5 conference championships and 3 Super Bowls.
My question for the Hall of Fame would be, how many great years did you have? Like, I don't care if you played 15 seasons. How many great years did Gale Sayers have? 3?
And Mahomes also has won a season MVP. He's going to win a second one this year. I think he's going to be really a hands down winner this year. And if he won a Super Bowl MVP, And if they happen to beat Philly, I would be willing to bet the chances are he'll win another one.
Yeah, I think 100 games and five seasons in the NFL is a pretty nice little sample size. Terrell Davis had 4 years. Basically, his career was 4 years. He hung on for three more. But he played less games than Mahomes.
A lot of people don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
He started 77 games in his career. Yeah, that's why I don't like longevity. Like, I think of Terrell Davis at his best and Frank Gore at his best, and they're not even close to comparable.
Jerome never had 4 years, never led the league in rushing or...
That's not a criterion for me.
Okay.
Because only one guy can do that. Wait, what's your point with Jerome?
Would you take Terrell Davis's resume more than Jerome's?
No.
Jerome got in because he won the Super Bowl in his last game, but also because of longevity.
You know? Well, he wouldn't have gotten in for longevity because of from me. He would have gotten in.
That's what I'm saying.
He would have gotten in because he was phenomenal. That's why.
If
Jerome had seasons of 1,400, 1,400, 1,600, and 1,300. If he had never played, if he had retired after 01 and never played again, to me, Jerome Bettis is one of the greatest, especially big backs, I've ever seen in my life.
I couldn't agree more, but I'm pretty convinced if Ben doesn't make that tackle on Nick Harper and they lose that game and they don't win the Super Bowl, I don't think Jerome's in the Hall of Fame.
You might very well be right.
It took him, what, 5 or 6 years as it was?
Yeah.
With that on his resume.
And the voters would be wrong.
They're always wrong in a lot of cases, including me.
But
as people will tell me all the time.
I agree with you that they probably would have wrongly kept him out. But Jerome, I mean, I just said it. How many running backs in history have eclipsed 1,400 yards three times?
The best big back I've seen. I liked him better than Earl Campbell. I'm not talking best back. I'm saying big back.
Yeah, I like Campbell better because he was a home run hitter compared to Jerome. But Jerome is up there for me. He's up there as far as best big backs of all time. Those might be the two. Who else is in that conversation?
I don't know. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head.
Earl Campbell. Well, Jim Brown.
I don't put him in there in that category, though, big backs. Maybe he was. I can't remember how big he was. It didn't strike me as being the size of Campbell or Jerome, but maybe he was.
I don't know if he was.
And if he's that big, then he's absolutely the best big back of all time.
Jerome was 5'11", 252.
Oh, my God.
Jim Brown was 6'2", 232. So that's what they were listed
at. That's a pretty big back.
Yeah. Jerome was gigantic.
Jerome had those quick feet that...
Defied
his size.
Incrinculent,
right?
some would say.
It would absolutely be incrinculent.
Listen, if you have 1 year where you're phenomenal, or two, or three even, I would hear three, by the way, if he's one of the greatest guys. How many great years did Gale Sayers have, by the way, or Lynn Swan? But Mahomes has 5 years and 100 games. He's one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen. To me, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer right now, and he's a top 10 quarterback. In fact, he's probably higher than that. Another way of
how
answering.
How high do you think he can climb? Can he catch
to one?
Can he catch Brady?
Yeah.
I mean, he could climb to one. Not with seven Super Bowl wins.
Well, we don't know yet.
I don't know that anybody's going to win seven. It's just so hard.
He might have two at 28, three at Kansas City's going to have a crack next year.
Yeah.
And the year after. He might be up to four by the time he's 30, Ron. He's a play away from having three or two.
I would bet against that. I just think it's so hard.
Well, if you think he's as good as Brady, then he better get there every year or every other year, I'll say.
Yeah, but I mean, my eyes, you know, sometimes it depends on who's around you, the opponent you're playing. I mean, I just see Mahomes do stuff I've never seen anybody else do.
Me too. The other way to ask that question is at the height of their powers, which quarterback would you take to win a single game? Mahomes would be
in the conversation.
He'd be in my top.
I just say
five.
It's so hard when guys like Aaron Rodgers get to one.
Yeah. You know,
and he's a four-time MVP and he's got to one Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is.
Very hard.
But he's already at three.
Yes, he is.
So for the greatest of the greats, it might not be that hard.
It's a big one for him. He needs to win this one.
Bolsey, is Mahomes already an all-time great?
Absolutely, he is. I mean, I heard a little bit of the PM team yesterday, and they were going through the whole, like, Mike and the Mad Dog thing where they would go through Hall of Fame seasons. Like,
what if
Hall
I
of
put
Fame
him
years?
At number two, like Orlovsky did? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying that he's already had, like, five Hall of Fame years. I mean, every year that he's been a starter, yeah. It's Hall of Fame caliber.
I'll put his five seasons against anybody's best five.
Sure, the numbers are right there. And I think if you're talking about needing to, you know, get a drive or have lead a drive at the end of the game, I think he's top five in there. I think for me, Tom Brady is by far number one, and it's not particularly close.
That was always my argument for Elway as my best quarterback is, yeah, I love Dan Marino, but what if I'm playing a certain team on a certain day where I need somebody to run? What if my quarterback needs to run to win that day? In the snow in Buffalo or Denver, and Elway could.
And Mahomes did it the other day.
Mahomes can do anything, anywhere. I'm with Orlovsky. He's the second greatest quarterback I've ever seen, Ron.
You know, it's funny. I caught up the play, the spinorama play, and I wrote about that. I looked at it again. I still can't believe it. His vision, he escapes this guy trying to sack him. He's starting to run, and it was Devin White. It was against Tampa.
Yeah.
Devin White is coming up to cream him. He does the spinorama move, and two other guys are coming at him, and right before they get there, he just flicks the ball to Edwards-Helaire for a touchdown.
Yeah.
One of the most amazing plays I've ever seen.
He's delivered about five of those.
That's him. That's vintage Mahomes.
He's the second greatest quarterback I've ever seen, Ron. And if I had to win a game tomorrow, I'd take Brady at the height of his powers first, then Mahomes, then Elway. That would be my top three. You?
Well, that was Orlovsky's top three. I'm a big Elway fan. I just, when a game's on the line, I'd take him. But Montana, look what he did too. I mean, there's so many great ones. It's ridiculous.
Who's your top three, Ron? You have to win a game to save the world. Pick three in order.
I'd probably go Brady, Montana, Elway.
Bolsey?
Brady, Elway, Montana.
Hmm. All right. Top of the hour. Man, was this an interesting week for the Steelers and for all NFL teams at the Senior Bowl. And the Steelers are positioned for this draft. Man, I don't know how many times in their history they've been this well positioned for so many high picks. Let's talk about that with our friend Ryan Wilson, who has a fresh mock draft.
And he's been
out
following
there.
Me since he was a young boy, right?
Reading
you,
your
you
columns.
You always remind him of that.
Yeah, since he was at Carnegie Mellon. A wonderful man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.